So I guess I'll use both of these for a little while if you need that. If you wear a tie, you can use the pulpit for the mark. If you... Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians, and we'll look at chapter 5 and 6 and some other texts tonight. I appreciate you being here. And really, Brother Jim, I want to say to you and your wife and the church, thank you for hosting the meeting and the cooking, I want to say, to you and your wife, man. And Brother Jim, did y'all know he's the one who cooked the baked beans? And that ministered to me, praise God. Over there where in Matthew where it says and Peter's mother-in-law was sick, Jesus healed her. Said in when she got well, said she ministered unto him. That didn't mean she preached to him. That means she put some baked beans together and biscuits, praise God. And that sure ministered to me. And I've been fed. How many enjoyed it? Say amen. And some of you have never heard me preach before. I met one brother who had never heard me preach before. And I'm not trying to impress you tonight. I'm not trying to entertain you. Most of you are my friends. I've known Brother Mike a long time. Much of these preachers, I preached to them when they were in Bible college down in Tennessee, many of them. And I've known some of you a long time. And then some of you be the first time I've ever met you. Some of you have heard me by the way of the internet. But I want to try to help you. We got another service tomorrow. And you pray God will enlighten me as I try to share with you. I want the Holy Ghost to illuminate some truth. I've compiled some facts. But teaching without unction is nothing more than that, just facts. Paul said, I didn't come preaching a word only. We're living in a day, me and y'all listen to me real close, we're living in a day of word-only religion. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power. There are much brethren that we could sign their doctrinal statement. I'm talking about we could sign their doctrinal statement, we could look at a mission statement by many denominations, and it would be identical to what we say we believe, but they deny the power thereof. You understand the power of God, the Holy Ghost. They don't even know what the word conviction means. I preach in Christian schools every Tuesday of my life, just about every Tuesday of my life, and this is inevitable that I can mention the word Holy Ghost conviction, say the word conviction, and I've started doing it. I ask, I said, how many young people remember when you got under conviction? And the kids go to looking at one another. This ain't make-believe. This is the real deal. This happened three Tuesdays ago. Everywhere I go, and I'll look to try to make a way out for the leadership. And I said, well, do y'all use other terminology that I'm not familiar with? See, because if you hadn't been lost, you can't get saved. You got to get lost first. You have to be lost when you get saved. And we're living in a society that thinks you just, you know, well, I just made a decision. And I know that's the case. You decide to receive or reject Christ. But you're going to have a visitation. The Holy Ghost has got to preach to you. You have to know you're lost. It's going to be more than word only. Paul said, I didn't come away. Some of y'all looking at me kind of, you know, nervous. And we ain't even got started good. Word only. Paul said, I didn't preach with. He said, but I preached with the power. And the demonstration, that's what makes the difference, that power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And that's not always volume and sweat. I was preaching one time, Brother Mark, at Crown College, way back in the early days of it. And I was weighed about 400. And I eat a lot of pork, salt meat. I sweated like a mule. I'd sweat when I wasn't nervous. I sweat when I was nervous. I sweat when I wasn't hot. I sweat when I was hot. I mean, just, breathing made me sweat. Somebody say amen. But when I get to preach, I go to sweat. And one of those younger preachers came up with his eyes big. He said, now, Brother Hudson, I noticed when the power of God come on you, he said, you started sweating. He said, how do I get that? I said, one thing, you 300 pounds too light. I said, you got to wear a heavily starched shirt, button it at the top, a wool suit and a thick T-shirt, a lot of clothes. I said, eat a whole lot of food, drink a lot of coffee before you come to the meeting. Amen. There's nothing spiritual about that. See, y'all stay with me. It's not the volume of a message. It's not the delivery of a message. But there's something about that realness. There is such a thing as unction and power and demonstration. God give us that in these last days. Word only is killing us. No realness to it. And we need the real thing. And I appreciate what Brother Mark said tonight, every bit of it. I thought he was going to get on my message and preach most all of it when he said, deal with that labor. We need some labor. I was praying about what to preach on, speak on. And I'm going to preach, teach, speak, share, rap, sing. And who knows, for it's all over tonight. But we have a role to play as men. It's not optional. God's chosen men, boys on the front row, watch me. God's chosen men. God's chosen men, boys, watch me. Everybody watch me, say yes, sir. Yes, boys on the front row that are Yankee boys, say yes, sir. Okay, yes, you got it? Y'all say yes, sir, all the time around here because I'm really uncomfortable when y'all say yes. Okay, you got that? Say yes, sir. Okay, I got it. Thank you, sir. You're listening well. Oh, everybody got it? Say yes, sir. The rest of you didn't say yes, sir. All right, we're checking y'all out. Amen. Now, where was I before I got on the yes, sir thing? Leaders. God's chosen men to be leaders. Now, stay with me. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. Don't get big boy britches now. But there's never a passage in Scripture that tells a lady to impart spiritual truth into another lady. Titus says the aged women are to teach young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be keepers at home. Now, women ain't supposed to be preaching to women. Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. We have a ladies' meeting at our church. We have a mother-daughter banquet and such things. Don't get nervous. But men are supposed to be leaders. There's a curse on a nation ruled by women. Biblical curse on a nation ruled by a woman's not to usurp authority over a man. To usurp authority means to take away lawfully. If I assign somebody as a lady to lead a choir, if I assigned her to lead a choir, if I, a pastor, assigned her, she's not usurp authority. She's under my authority. Now, you don't have to agree with that. You're just wrong. If you don't agree with that, you're wrong. But to lawfully take, unlawfully take away a role, for a woman to speak out in a choir practice and say, wait a minute, that's too high for me. You got to lower that. She's usurped authority. Stay tuned. It's unlawful what Hillary Clinton fixes to do. She's doing something unlawful. She's violating Bible principles. Amen, Brother Tony. Now, and the reason why that she's even has the opportunity, what she's done is because we've lost the leadership. Men are so weakened that we've lost leadership. Now my boundaries are the church. I'm a pastor. I do the work of an evangelist. I've got limited boundaries. Now, I'm going to say stuff. I mean, I believe all the prophets of God spoke out against corruptness in government. I mean, even from the Old Testament prophet, the earliest one, I mean, those prophets that dealt with David and his sin, thou art a man, that's what Nathan said, called his sin out all the way to John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets, looked at Herod and said, hey, you're cheating, you're shacking up with your brother's wife, that's straight out of hell. He called it sin, sin. And he did it publicly. He did it, I'm talking about specifically, he dealt with sin. Our politically correct, independent Baptist brethren are so potato string backbone, rose water squirting, lily livered, weak preachers today. They won't even call out a deacon cheating on his wife in church, much less some political leader. Just don't bow your head. I'm not ready to pray yet. Look up. We got weaknesses, weak. And a lot of it comes with a reality of our limits. Okay, we all agree. Let me, before I get to the text, the husband's the head of the wife. Even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the head. And Ephesians, we'll look at it, talks about that Jesus is the head of the church, and that he was the Savior of the body. The body is the church. Jesus is the head. Everybody understand that? Say aye. We're to be leaders. We're supposed to be training leaders. Men are supposed to be, little boys are supposed to learn to be leaders. Leaders. Well, but we got to admit some things. There hadn't been a perfect home in the Bible. Now, this is not to excuse my imperfect home. Because we got a pretty good record. I mean, I hadn't had to bail any kids out of jail. So far, neither one of me or my wife's been to the hospital because of a fight. It's been close a time or two, but no lost teeth yet. I mean, I've still got my vision. She's got hers. Is everybody okay? I ain't got my hearing as good, but somebody say amen. Everybody listening? I mean, no police called to the house yet. We got pretty good, but I mean, it's not a perfect home. But I hear people, man, I hear preachers come. I get around fellowship meetings, and, man, I hear people talk about how perfect their family is. How perfect their wife is. I mean, how perfect their children are. And they've never done this, they've never done that. And, man, we got some good ones, man. I got a good boy back there. But, I mean, man, it ain't perfect. Stay with me. Y'all just help me now. Let's just be honest. But where did we get the idea as some make-believe world? Because when I study the very first family recorded, they didn't have but two boys and one of them was a murderer. The very first biblical example of a husband and a wife and children. Y'all find me another one. Now you don't know more. You know, y'all been studied under the greats. You show me one. The very first family. The two brothers couldn't even get along. I ain't talking about it, the dude was listening to rock music. I mean, if it was Skinner, you know, we'd let him by on that. That's Southern. Somebody say amen. Look at me, Hoss. This dude wasn't listening. He wasn't watching television. He didn't go to the movies. He killed his brother. First home. First wife. First wife in the Bible. Husband was weak. She gets deceived by the serpent. She's deceived. She takes of the fruit of the tree. And he knows better. And he knows better. Ain't but two of them there. First marriage. First marriage. I'm talking about major issues. Major scriptural violation for the first marriage. They ain't got no rules in the whole. They ain't got a one stinking rule. They ain't got even a Bible. They ain't even got the Holy Ghost. And they got one rule. Don't eat of that tree right yonder. Leave that alone. They can't do that. And their marriage, poof, I'm talking about, it gets messed up from the start. And he's blaming her and she's blaming him. The woman thou gavest me, if it had to been for her. And she's that old snake. Isn't that just a coincidence? Y'all think that's a coincidence? You're stupid. That ain't no coincidence. The first marriage. The first family. I mean, you start scrolling down through the Bible. I mean, man, oh, Sarah. Here she is, and God visits them. I mean, God's doing great things in Abraham's life. Time's going to be blessed. All the seeds of the world's going to be blessed out of this one birth. Watch me now. And she's laughing at a spiritual thing, a monumental thing. That's hard for old Abraham to swallow, wouldn't it? Well, you say he laughed too, yeah, and maybe he's reaping some of his what he's sown, but man, I mean, that was God was standing there in three persons. He's in the tent door. I mean, God's there and she's hearing it. I mean, you go down the line, old Lot's wife. Lot's wife sees all of that. Last word, whatever you don't look back. Just don't look back. We're going to get you out of here. Fire's fallen on this city, and God has salvaged Lot's wife and his three daughters. They're coming out. She turns back, looks back. This is just Genesis, you know. I mean, I'm looking for that perfect home, you know. Joseph, the type of Christ, perfect home. His brethren sell him into slavery. They hate him. There's hatred in the home. There's hatred. They said, here he comes. That dreamer's coming. Here comes the goody two-shoes, Joseph. Always dreaming. Here comes Joseph. And his own brethren hated his guts. And the Bible said they hated him yet the more for his dream. What dreams? God-given dreams. Not dreams of his own origin. Dreams that God had given him. Y'all still here? I'm not trying to depress you, but I mean Rachel. After this promise is made, and man Jacob, it's a picture of the church, all this great truth and doctrinal application, but they leave out of there, and they're going out, and after all of those years and years of service, and she takes the idols of her daddy. I mean, man, he's thinking, I've done served for this first and I didn't want. Now I've served for this and I did want. And the one I do want, don't want to serve the God I want to serve. Great divisiveness. Great division in the point that, I mean, they couldn't even get along with their father-in-laws and in-laws. And everybody, that just ain't much of a Christian home. Can't nobody get along. Well, I can't find one yet so far in Genesis. I'm still in Genesis. I got 65 more books, man. I want to find a good one. And then all the warnings in the epistles. Eli, man, he's a prophet. He's got old Hophni and Phinehas. I don't know what in the world kind of strange fires they're offering, but it wasn't right. Y'all going to go to sleep on me before this thing's over. I'm just going to give it to you and we'll go on. But I mean, everybody, when we get intimidated, we hear these missionaries come in, all their kids can quote the verses and raise their hand like little robots. Somebody help me. They come in with their all of them, got the same clothes on, like little outhouse on the prairie. Somebody help me now. Y'all know I'm telling the truth, and everybody's sitting, oh. Wife walks around like she's, honest to God, looks like she's starved to death, her eyes big around circle. You can't speak to her, you ask her a question, she goes, ask my husband. She can't even answer for herself. Don't y'all look down, look up. And then we act like that's something to pattern after. Let's get real, friend. And it real hinges back on the absence of true leaders. Leadership. Everybody say leadership. Leadership. We're the head of the church. We're the Christ the head. The head. Now I'm going to make a little more negative application just to make the point. Head, the head. I got a head. The head is over my body, right? How many's ever had your head and your body to resist your head? Like you're trying to go to sleep right now. And many of you are yawning, your eyes are going to sleep. This happens all the time in church. Saying I'm sleepy and I'm tired and we done eat that food and I'm going to sleep and you're going and your body said, no, don't go to sleep. And your body is resisting your mind, your head. Help me now. And Brother Mark, I got people come, men, preachers and all these, they'll act like their body never resists their head. They got a perfect home. Make me feel bad. Like I ought to shoot all mine. Somebody help me. But see, the body will resist the head. Sometimes the body refuses the head. The alarm clock goes off and you know you got to get up. And your mind tells you, you got to get up. You got to be at work. But you hit that snooze button again, but your mind's saying, you got to get up. But your body says, you ain't going to get up. But you got to get up, but I ain't getting up, but I ain't got to get up. I'm going to get up. I woke up this morning, and they wanted to go deer hunting, and I woke up. at 5. And I communicated. I said, y'all going to get it? Yeah, we got it set for 5:15. We're going to be up. Won't get light till 6. At 6:15, I woke up again. They ain't up. You know why? Because the body wanted something the mind didn't want. The mind wanted something, but it didn't happen. Y'all seeing that? But we're the head of the home. But sometimes the body don't always do. It resists. Sometimes it refuses. Troy broke his collarbone. Troy's an athlete. He loves it. He's 100% athlete. I'm talking about he gives 100%. But when the collarbone snaps in two, I don't care how bad you want to throw the ball, your mind can tell you, throw the ball. In fact, it was this year in a preseason scrimmage. He was running the offense, and they had already made a first down, and it was a bad snap. He picked it up, and he scrambled, went around the outside, and made another first down and some yards, and they hit him to knock him out of bounds. And I've always told him, sissy, step out of bounds. You're a sissy, sodomite. Sissy, sodomite, borderline, sodomite, sissy, to step out of bounds. Somebody, you make a defender hurt for hitting you. Somebody say amen. Y'all help me. Oh, y'all soccer people. I'm talking about football. I'm an American. Somebody say amen. And I said, hit somebody, bless God. And man, he bowled over. He wasn't going to step out. Man, they hit him and he fell. He had the ball on his side. And I never heard of breaking your shoulder blade. Your shoulder blade broke it in two. 6 weeks out. He went back in. He didn't know he broke his shoulder. We had x-rayed it. He goes back in. Next play, man, he rears back to throw, and that thing just... Because it refused. Because it was broke. But his mind told him. But his body refused. Y'all stay with him. He's the head. The head sometimes refuses. Sometimes the mind relays. Maybe you get it under control. And you keep it. You're doing real good. The head gets the body under control. Every once in a while, it'll relapse. Something will happen that had previously happened that you thought wasn't going to happen again. Sometimes there's some of these reactions. You ever get a cramp in your leg? You didn't expect the cramp. You didn't ask the cramp to come. I mean, it was just from nowhere. All of a sudden, your big toe starts pulling down. And your calf starts knotting up. And it feels like somebody's driving a spike through your leg. And you trying everything, jumping up and down, pushing your heel down, drinking pickle juice. Snorting ginseng. Somebody said, I mean, you're doing all of the, I mean, you're doing all the tricks you know to do, but the cramp's still there. Hey, it's out of your control. Y'all with me? That's reality. That's reality. And leadership as the head of the home. In leadership roles as a pastor, as a deacon. There's things, man, I'm telling you, in a leadership role. Man, we just got to understand. I don't like them. I want them to get better. But that's the relationship, head and body. Now, we're not to give up on it because the body relies on the head. The head's got to maintain. The head's got to come. Head's got to stay conscious. If you just go unconscious on it, I can't take anymore. I can't. If you just lose your head, he lost his head. That's what happened. A lot of our families, they've lost their head. A lot of our churches, they've lost their head. A bunch of women running the church. A bunch of millionaires running the church. What they did, they've lost their leadership. The head of the home, the head of the church. We need some leaders. I'm going to give you some points, some thoughts, and we'll go home. Now, I want you to listen close. Even young people listen to help you. Leaders, number one. I mean, what are we supposed to do as the head? As a head. We're in charge of something. Well, what are government officials supposed to do as a head? What are we supposed to do as Christians? How does it make application? Well, number one, the head is always a leader. A leader, leaders, we're to lead. We're to lead. The head leads. Head leads. Everybody said head leads. And to be a leader, he has to be preoccupied. You'll never find a scriptural leader who was inactive prior to the purpose of God for his or her life. When I say purpose, I want y'all to say this word, divine purpose. Let us not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God has a will for your life. Now watch me. Nobody in the Scripture did God find idle and use them. Elisha's plowing 12 yoke of oxen. David's tending sheep. The disciples, many of them by the seashore. Matthew's a tax collector. Luke's a doctor. They all were previously engaged. I'm worried today about our younger generation. They don't even know how to check the oil in a car. They wouldn't, if you were to take these boys, teenagers, I guarantee you most teenagers from a Christian school could not change a tire, a flat tire. If you've got a Christian school or you're involved, I challenge you, for God's sake, why don't you have a class on changing the tire? These sissy boys are about to make me vomit. We've raised a generation. How can they lead when they don't even know how to labor? How can they show somebody how to do something and they've lost a work ethic? The Bible said it's good for a young man to bear his yoke in his youth. Well, he's too tired. Mama steps in. He's too tired. Well, he's got other plans. Well, he needs to change his plans. We have no leaders. They can't lead. They'll never be leaders because they're not laborers. Stay with me now. Their pleasure is more important than their character. Amen. We're raising a generation. They couldn't check the oil. They don't know where the oil stick is. They don't know how to check the air pressure in a tire. Some of them can't even use a key to unlock a door on a car. Are y'all listening? This is no joke. This is reality. And we're raised. Why? No wonder we have no leadership. No preoccupation. Every single character of Scripture that God used in a mighty way, it was one that was preoccupied in labor. I'm talking about secular labor. Everybody I talk to, anybody, I want to be full-time. Are you full-time by vocation? Like working a job is some kind of crime. Any preacher who's too sorry to work, listen to me, man, ain't no more God called than a jaybird's called. In any church that could pay their preacher and don't, God will judge him for it. Amen, friend. But I've never seen such a lax society. I'm talking about labor. They think manual labor is some Mexican boy. Somebody say amen. Amen, friend. Won't work a lick. Wouldn't taste pies at Edward Pie Factory. They'd have to have a break on that. Just lazy as yarn. God needs men. We need men who are preoccupied. And nothing wrong with you're young and getting a job. Nothing wrong with you're young. Nothing wrong with men working. Amen. Praise God. I can't. While I go, I was amen in the preacher. And ain't nobody amen in me. But what I'm saying is true. We're lacking leaders. God, if we want to lead, I believe it takes a preoccupied man. I believe leaders have to be predetermined. A leader has to know, if you've got a lead, you got to know where you're going. Leaders don't get in the car and then say, where are we going? A father needs to know, where are we going doctrinally? You don't take a vote, what church are we going to go to? I could illustrate so many. You want one illustration. A family visited our church, and the mom and dad loved our church, old-fashioned. They was from an old-fashioned church. And I watched a little miniskirt-wearing, tattooed-up daughter sitting by them. And I watched a little effeminate son. Little old soft-handed, effeminate little sissy boy sitting by them. And while I preached, they were hating it. Mom and Daddy was liking it. I got a visitor's card. I went to their home, knocked on the door. You could hear the music just playing, rap music up there. And they was white people. Just rap music just going upstairs. That girl come down there. I mean, ain't got enough clothes on to clean out a 10-gauge shotgun. Got enough skin showing, look like a Mexican meat market. Somebody say amen. I mean, I'm watching up there, and here she comes down, and they walk by now, and I said, well, how'd y'all like the service? Well,
We really enjoyed, brought us back. We cut our teeth on that kind of preaching. And we're going to have a family vote. And she's doing all the talking. And him sitting over there, I just thought to myself, I didn't say it because y'all know how tactful I am and I don't want to offend anybody. But I thought to myself, Hoss, you're going to lose this vote. Mama's doing the talking, and them other two up yonder, I know it's going to be 3-1. We ain't going there. There'd be some if you're going to lead, you got to know where you're going. Leaders don't ask where we're going. Leaders tell where we're going. There's a predestined. You already predetermined. I'm going to an old-fashioned, Bible-believing, hellfire and brimstone, King James only, no words on the wall. Amen. I'm going to an old-fashioned church where the mama likes it, where I have to fight hell by the acre. I'm going there. There has to become a predetermined direction, doctrinally. There has to be a predetermined devotion. You got to predetermine, I'm going to do this if I have to do it alone. Hey, you can't make your children pray. You can make them act like they're praying. You can have a family altar. I'm not opposed to that. But you can have a family altar and everybody not even, they can be there in body and their mind 10,000 miles away. And they can quench the Holy Ghost. I've been in meetings with people where I'd be better off with myself. It's quenching God to be in it. Somebody stay with me. You can't make your daughter read the Bible. You can't make your wife pray. You can't make your family pray. But I tell you what you can do, you can be dedicated yourself. You can do it whether they do it or not. You can pray every night whether they pray or not. You can read your Bible every day. I'm saying that leaders are predetermined about some things. Leaders don't get in a situation and then say, now what are we going to do? They've already made their choice before they get in a situation. Amen. I mean, it may not be easy, it may not be popular, everybody may not like it, but they've already made their decision before they get in a situation. I'm trying to help y'all. They're predetermined. They're preoccupied. Leaders are prepared. Some of y'all got more faith than me. You ride around without a spare tire. I ain't coming to get you. I done told you 10 times to get a spare tire. Call somebody else. I'm too busy. Amen. Find one. You need a spare tire. You need a lug wrench that fits your lugs. Y'all help me. You need a jack. Everybody going somewhere, Troy, needs a jack. Tell him, Andrew, they need a jack. They need a lug wrench that fits their lugs. They need if they got one of them with a spare tire, that you got to have one of them long wrenches, and you ain't got you got to get one of them, you got to get a long extension. And you're going to have to, and a ratchet that'll work it. You got to think, you need to be prepared for a flat. Are you going to be stuck and there'll be no progress? I've watched it as I've pastored. Hey, that there's more of our families who are stuck on the side of the road right now, hung up somewhere, waiting on somebody to bail them out. Waiting on some preacher, somebody to come bail them out of their problem. When every Sunday I've been telling them, get a spare tire, bless God, in your trunk. Get a jack. Get a lug wrench. Hey, look at me. I don't need no lug wrench. I'm going to be all right. I don't need no spare. Don't call me. Middle of the night, midnight, you go, boy up there on dope. I ain't coming. Call my deacons. No, I'm coming. Somebody help me. But why, if you're a leader, leaders check the oil. I can't understand this generation jump in a vehicle and check the oil. You didn't pay for it. That's why you never worked. You didn't pay for it. Somebody give it to you so you don't care if it blows. But if it was yours and your sweat had to be in, and it was yours and you prayed it in, you'd check the blessed fire oil. Yep. man. You'd check the oil pressure. You'd check the tire pressure. You wouldn't run them down, run them halfway low, rev the tread off. You'd make sure they're right. If they was pulling to one side, you'd go get it lined up. But it don't matter. That's the way it's happened. See, leadership. Leadership, we're not prepared. Most of y'all running your home right now, and it's pulling hard to the left. It's pulling hard left right now. I guarantee you, I go to your house and look at your daughter's wardrobe. I can find out how left it's pulling. See what you let your wife wear. Yeah, man, I see what you let your wife wear around. I can tell you how far hard it's pulling left. Bless God, it's pulling left. I said it's pulling left. Yeah, man, boy, y'all loving this, ain't you? This thing's pulling hard left. You got to hold it over yonder to hold it on the yellow line. Yeah, man, Brother Paul, this thing, hey, but leaders are, I'm telling you, they're prepared. They check. Every 3,000. On synthetic, 5,000. On a diesel, 10,000. I'm changing my oil. I'll tell them if I change it myself, every grease fitting gets grease. When's the last time you even talked to some of your children? Amen. They all need everything needs attention. I check the windshield wiper fluid, and it got nothing to do with driving. Except until you get enough bugs and mud on it, you'll find out how important that is. And it don't matter. It does matter. It matters when you get in a mud hole. Got to get out there and pour Coca-Cola on your windshield. Cost $1 a piece. You wish to God you'd put some water in that thing. Somebody say amen. It's preaching time. You say, oh, it's tacky. No, it ain't tacky. Our homes are in a mess because you ain't no leader. You ain't no leader. You don't even check the oil in your truck. Amen. Hallelujah. I could say a whole lot more about that leadership. Examining, exposing, expecting a leader. He leads. In the home, he loves. Jot it down. Leaders love. He loves his wife as Christ loved the church. Ephesians. Yes, what it said, chapter 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, he is Christ's head of the church. For he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ. So let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. Now, we only have a Bible example of how Christ loved the church. You can't make up what you think how Christ loved the church. You can't come up with what you think. Because what you think is about like armpits. They're like opinions. Your opinion about what you think about how Christ loved the church is like two armpits. Everybody's got a couple of them and they both stink. Amen. Your opinion ain't got a blessed fire thing to do with what this said. Boy, this is getting quiet in here. Love is a personal choice. For God so loved the world. Love's not a feeling. Love's not an emotion. Emotion may accompany my choice. Feelings may accompany my choice. Sometimes they do. Some feelings are good. Some feelings are bad. Yeah, man, y'all wake up on me now. This is good. This is real good. And listen, I ain't going to charge y'all extra, and this is real good. I'm not going to charge anybody extra, and this is good. This should be at a seminar. Love, watch me, it initiates love. I'm talking about heads of homes. It's a choice you make. You need to forget this. Well, I fell in love. You don't fall in love. Nobody falls in love. You choose to love somebody. I chose an 18-year-old baby of the family. baby of the family. Spoiled, rotten baby of the family. 18-year-old baby. With my eyes wide open. I wasn't dizzy. Look at me. It wasn't dog's days. Everybody says that because she said yes. They thought, man, she was blind. I chose a baby who'd been pampered. I chose that. Yeah, man, I chose it. Don't tell me, well, we fell out of love. No, it ain't got nothing to do with it. That has nothing to do with it. You made a choice. The Lord chose us. That's not unconditional election. That's not unconditional. That's called love. But God so loved the world that He gave Himself. He gave a gift to the world. It was personal. The love is personal. Personal love. It's a personal choice. Now stay with me. Y'all got to stay with me. We got to understand, you've done made the choice to be married. You got these kids. They're your kids. That was a choice you made. Amen. I believe in freedom of choice. Yeah, you got one right there. That's one of your choices. It's a personal choice. Leadership is coupled with love. We're to have a personal choice. And then I think there's a purposeful demonstration. If you love somebody, you're going to prove it. Stay with me. I believe you'll say it out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I believe you ought to use Bible to prove Bible. Somebody say amen. Bible to prove Bible. Everybody say Bible to prove Bible. Okay, if y'all don't start listening to me, I'm going to have you stand up. So start listening. Bible to prove Bible. A purposeful demonstration. I was counseling with a couple. I don't do much counseling. I do mainly preaching. But I had a counseling. And I said, well, when was the last time you told her you loved her? And she goes, hey, she knows I love her. I sign the paycheck over every weekend. Money speaks louder than words. Sound like Bristol Darling on the Andy Griffith Show. Somebody, eating speaks louder than words. Y'all look here. No, purposeful demonstrations. You love her as Christ loves you. You know what? God, the Lord demonstrated His love. That He gave. When's the last time you gave your wife anything? When's the last time you gave your children anything? You've got to demonstrate it as Christ loves. You know what He does for me? He gives me stuff. He gives me favor. He gives me stuff I never asked for. I never asked to meet Jim Frederick. But He gave me a friend. I didn't ask for that friend. The Bible said, if you delight yourself with the Lord, He gives you the desires of your heart. I desired a friend at Coon Hunts in Illinois. I got a friend. Good one. Just doing what God has me to do. I'm telling you, God does that all the time. He gives. He gives. Y'all still here? Hey, when's the last time you gave anything? I'm not talking about, well, they know. No, I'm talking about where you knew that God demonstrated. He had a purposeful demonstration. I want you to know I love you, so I'm going to give you this. I'm going to demonstrate it with this. That ought to make sense. I feel like it's making sense. Y'all act like nobody's here, but I swear to you, I think it's making sense. That's Bible. And then with parental discipline. If you love your family, you'll discipline. If you love your children, y'all going to let them walk on you. Parental discipline. You love your wife as Christ loved the church, there's going to be some lines drawn in the home. That don't mean she's going to walk around with her teeth out of her mouth. That's not abuse. That's not abuse. Look at me. That's not abuse. But there's going to have to be one head. Anything with two heads is a monster. Somewhere the brakes got to come on. I mean, like, I'm watching homes today where there's no leader. And the boys want to be like mama because she's the leader. And that's why we have so many sodomites. You got a sodomite invasion, a sodomite, a mass sodomite multiplication because you got mama playing the role of daddy. Because she says the no's. And she makes the decisions. And she does the discipline. And when daddy starts whooping the young one, she says, "Nah, don't you whip him." And he listens. Instead of saying, "Hush your mouth, get in the other room. Don't you come back in here if you don't want some of it." I'd rather be put in jail. Look at me. Is everybody okay? Listen to me. We're living in an hour where the leadership of the home is so decayed. And we're producing Hillary Clintons. And our nation is wooed by it. Whom he loves, he chastens. He chastises everyone. I'm talking about, friend, there's going to be some lines drawn on them young'uns. I've never seen people go wild. Kids in church today, they have no restraint. They'll jump, grab a $1,000 guitar. Listen, man, I get so nervous. We don't allow children on our platform unless they're accompanied by a parent. They ain't going to come up there and play Elvis Presley's old piano. Somebody say amen. And that's a showpiece. Is everybody okay? You say, "Is that Elvis Presley's old piano?" No, we tell people that makes them come to church. Look at me. Hey, we're in Tennessee. Is everybody in Alabama? Close enough to Alabama, it draws a crowd. Is everybody okay? Look here. Hey, leaders. Leaders love. Leaders lead. Heads lead. Heads love. Let me give you this. Y'all ain't listening no way, but I'm going to give you this anyway. Heads of homes, they lead. Heads of homes love. Heads of homes last. There's a persistence about a head home. You say, "Well, what about it?" Well, they'll last through trials. Sometimes trials come to the home and they come to strengthen the home. I'm never in one of them when trials come that at the moment that I'm seeing how it's strengthening. Normally, when I'm in it, the devil's got me buffaloed into thinking, man, this cannot do nothing but hurt us. Don't y'all judge me. Look at me, because don't I'll get on you. I'll find something about you. Is everybody okay? Most of the time, when we go through trials that come in my life, I want to be spiritual, Paul, and say every time I get in a trial, "Oh yes, I just always feel like I'm going to come out of this thing like a victorious." Yeah. But when they come, most of the time I'm going, "Phew." Let me tell you what the difference between a leader and a follower. Leader will make it through. Leaders use trials to strengthen. Leaders, sometimes they last through the strengthening trial. Sometimes they last through statements of taunting. Old Job sitting over there, it's the oldest marriage recorded in the Bible. Job's the oldest book of the Bible. Here's Job, the oldest penned, recorded book of the Bible. Job sitting over in a heap of ashes. And his encouraging wife walks up to him. You know, she's just so positive. His helpmate walks up and says, "Hey, Job, why don't you cuss God and die?" What she's saying is commit suicide. End it, man. I'm glad he didn't. That'd have messed up that story. I don't know what stories will be told about your life, but listen, don't listen to the taunts. Because it may wind up, in fact, if you're a leader, if you're one of God's appointments, it's going to wind up better than you think it is. It's going to wind up better than she says it will. There'll be taunts. I've had people tell me, you're too hard on your children. You're too hard on your children. You're going to raise your children. All your children, they go, you can't do like that. You're too hard on them. They're going to turn. They're going to turn on old-time religion. They're going to turn on it. They're going to hate it. They're going to turn. Man, my in-laws, I'm telling you, they think we're a cult. I'm telling you, man. They ain't spoke to our family in 2 years now. They ain't spoke to us. I'm just talking about, are y'all listening to me? Anybody vote for Obama, I don't want to talk to them, no way. If you vote for him, don't say nothing to me when we leave. I can't hear you. Is everybody okay? We'll vote you out of our church if you joined. Is that okay? Anyway, is everybody all right? I ain't talked to them in 2 years. Don't they think we're crazy? If anything they say to me is a taunt, anything they say is picking at a scab. It's trying to provoke some reaction. But guess what leaders do? Leaders last. Leaders just keep doing the same thing. And then when they're going to need you, and they're going to need you, and then when they're going to need you at the funeral, and they're going to need you at the graveside, and they're going to need you at the hospital, they're going to need you. You'll be, the leader will last. We need some leaders. Leaders last through strengthening trials. Leaders last through statements that taunt. Leaders last through the seasons of time. I enjoy it when it is good. And I have to admit, man, the times are much better than, the good times are much better than the bad. I don't like these modern gospel songs that every song, every verse is about how hard it's been. You know, I've had it so hard, I couldn't find my Lord. I searched through the wilderness, and He wasn't there. Man, by the time I'm going to give me enough. Why me too? Make it happy somewhere. But if I wrote one, I couldn't write it like that. It'd have to be every once in a while, but not all the time. I ain't finished writing it. You know what you need to do? A leader needs to go and say, I'm going to make it. Now, I've said all this with the assumption that you're saved. Here's the problem. If you're not saved, this message wasn't for you. If you're lost, you can't do any of this. You're not even of the family. If you're not saved, it don't apply for any of you. This is only for people who have been born again. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let me ask something. Would you be honest? Say, man, I want to be a leader. I'd like to make a difference in a generation. Church age, it has weakened, and y'all all know it has. A nation who's lost leadership to the point that we're exalting a woman. I wouldn't call her a lady. A lesbian-type woman. Pantsuit-wearing woman. Promoting same-sex marriage. Worshiper of Obama. She's one of the choices for our leadership. Our nation has never reached such a low ebb. You say, I'd like to help somebody. Well, you can help by being a spiritual leader in the home, being a spiritual leader in the church. But you can't do it if you're not saved. How many know for sure that you're saved? Would you raise your hand? I know I've been saved. Would you raise your hand by testifying? I know I'm saved. How many say, Brother Tony, I don't know that I'm saved. Could you be honest and slip in and say, pray for me? I don't know it. But I don't want to miss heaven.
if I could know how to be saved, I want to be saved. I don't want to miss heaven. Well, these next few days, tonight, tomorrow, morning, if you question that and you're sincere about it, the Lord's in the business of saving sinners. He's never failed yet. There's never been a case yet that's too hard for Him. You come to somebody with a Bible, they'll help you. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you take these thoughts tonight. Thank you, Brother Mark's message. I pray you take these thoughts about leadership. In a dark hour, let there be some lights of leadership in homes and churches and our community. Let these men be lights of leadership in a world of darkness. I pray for everything else, tomorrow's services, all that's said and done. May Christ be exalted. May the church be edified. And may sinners be evangelized here today, we pray. For we ask it in Christ's name.